Welcome back to part two of the relationship episode with special life coach guest, Amanda. Okay, well, I think we've got a good understanding of starting to work on those thoughts about ourselves and whatnot. So now I think I'm good to segue back into relationships. Because you are in a relationship with your spouse, I would think that it's different than if you were just in a relationship with a random stranger. And so with that, yes, you're like, okay, well, I'm never going to see you again. I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But when you are having a conversation with your spouse and maybe it's something deep, or maybe they said something not so nice, or mm-hmm. you're thinking something not so nice, and you're just like, I just want to attack mm-hmm. you with words or something like that. When you catch yourself having resentment or something towards that, like, how would you sit down and model or coach yourself through some type of a thought like that of like, he said this to me, and then work our way through it? Or I really want to think this about my spouse, or I want to come up with like a model for how to talk yourself through when a spouse or like an in-law or somebody that you are tied to mm-hmm. says about you, or when you feel something about them.
Okay. So the first step when you're trying to do any coaching, first is to feel your feelings. We talked about this in the last episode.
Yes.
Let yourself kind of, you know, have the feeling that you have. It's okay for you to have that feeling. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I feel this way. Nothing's gone wrong. And we just, you know, you breathe in the feeling, you feel the feeling. And then when you're ready, might not be in that moment. I mean, you could feel your feeling really quickly. It could take some time. That's okay. But when you're ready, mentally ready, figure out what happened, right? It's like, well, I felt like this. I felt resentment. Why am I feeling resentment? I know it's coming from something I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. What am I thinking that's creating resentment? And sometimes it's, my spouse shouldn't say that to me. Okay?
Yeah.
So, like, if we can keep with the same example with my husband, you are irresponsible with your time management. Mm-hmm. I think that's something he's, like, word for word said to me. And, man, you guys, it took me some time. But you are irresponsible with your time management. So he says something like that, right? You got to have a direct quote if you're going to put it in your circumstance line.
Absolutely. Right?
And then my thought was, he shouldn't say that to me. Or some, it could be, he doesn't love me, right? That would probably be the more deep thought work in that situation. You're mm-hmm. going to get more deep thought work coming from the thought, he doesn't love me, instead of, he shouldn't say that to me. That's like, that's more surface level. He shouldn't say that to me. That's a judgment. And, you know, that's important work to do. But the he doesn't love me, I've definitely thought that a lot of times based on interactions when it comes to me being it truly irresponsible with my time management. It's true. It took me some time to you know, get to the place where I can say that about myself and not hate me for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my thought would be, he doesn't love me. And then it could be resentment, or it could be shame. Shame is probably what usually would come up. Like, he doesn't love me. Shame. Hate myself, la, la, la. And then I just hate me, right?
Yes.
Instead, yeah. It's like, he doesn't love me. And the result of all of that is, so I don't love me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not worth loving. I don't love me. And hate, 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 self, shame, love, la, la, right? Forever. And it's just like, terrible place to come from, right? Nobody wants to fall down that black hole. So we're going to not fall down black holes, ladies.
Good.
We're going to learn how to deal with this. So, you know, you feel your feelings, you find out what's going on. It's like, oh, I'm thinking that him saying you're irresponsible with your time management means that he doesn't love me.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I thinking that? What do I think about that thought? Is that true? And then you do the thought, I was like, well, no, if I was responsible with my time, you know, I'm sure there'd be something else that he has criticism, right? We're in a relationship. We're in a marriage. There are other things that he probably doesn't love, you know, like about me that I do sometimes. So instead of that being the thing, it would be something else. Mm-hmm. It's like, he doesn't hate me because of this. He just, you know, it's not his favorite thing about me, and that's okay. So it's a lot of, yeah, looking at the thought and deciding, okay, what am I making this mean? That's a question I like to use a lot. It's like, well, what are you making it mean that this person said this? What are you making it mean? Well, he doesn't love me. Like, oh, well, you think that's true? And then you start, you know, I talked about discernment versus judgment. When you are doing your self-coaching and you're doing models, check for going into judgment mode versus discernment mode. If you're curious and you're asking questions, you're going to get answers. You're going to start discovering things that you're doing that you would not discover if you went to judgment mode. Like, if I were to go, like, I gave you some examples of questions you could ask. Well, do I think this thought is true? And does he really not love me? And, you know, why am I making this sentence that he said to me mean so much about our relationship and our marriage? And, oh, maybe we should get divorced, right? That's part of the black hole that you can sometimes fall into. He wants to divorce me and all these things, right? It's just a horrible place. I've done this, you guys. My husband calls it catastrophizing. It's so true. Amanda, calm down. You're catastrophizing. It's like, you're right. I totally am. But if you find yourself doing that, take a deep breath, step back, and try and get into your body and out of your brain. Okay? Once that all calms down, that's when you do some models. That's when you try to stay in discernment and start asking questions and start figuring things out. And if you're in judgment, it's going to look like, well, he shouldn't say that to me, right? If you start saying any shoulds, no, you're in judgment mode. Like, if you're not asking questions, if you're making a lot of angry, resentful statements, you're in judgment mode. Okay. Now, that could be judgment of the other person. That could be judgment of yourself, just judgment in general. If you start making statements, I should be better. I shouldn't be late. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So does that help?
I like that we're also trying to give people an idea of what it would look like, you know, to talk yourself through an experience or how to coach yourself through something like that. And I feel like when you bring up, you know, he shouldn't do that type of a thing, I think the whole shouldn't and those types of words are leading us to this point of like expectations around what he should be doing and what I expect a spouse or an in-law or a friend or my kids to be doing. And I feel like expectations are also definitely a relationship thing. It's that little baggage you carry along with you.
Yes.
Your manuals.
So, yeah, in the coaching world, I went to the life coach school, and in the life coach school, we're taught that in relationships, we have manuals. So we have manuals of how we think friends should behave. Like, a good friend does this, right? If you have statements in your brain like that, that means you have a manual. Oh, a good husband takes out the garbage, right? A good husband does the yard work. A good husband always gives me a hug when I'm feeling sad, right? These are things that are in
the manual,
right? Yeah. In our brains, we have a bookshelf and we have manuals in there. It's like, well, good moms do this. Good husbands do this. Good friends do this. We could pull that manual out and we could flip around and have like see all of the expectations or the ways that we think a relationship or specific relationship should go. And these manuals get in the way of creating a good relationship or just in coaching all the time. And I'm not saying that having a manual is a bad thing, but just know that sometimes there are going to be things in your manuals that you need to get rid of if you want to have a good relationship with someone, or you need to just edit your manual. Like me saying, oh, if I want to have a good relationship with my husband, then this could be in my husband's manual. Like, good wives are on time. Right? Right? Good okay. wife. Yeah. Good wives are on time. That's probably in my husband's manual still to this day, and I don't think it's ever going to be edited out. It's just
I would make a terrible wife, Derek.
I'm just telling you now. It's like that's just probably in his manual and it's not going to go anywhere, and that's fine. I've done my work around it and I'm still working on it and we're fine. But that sentence in his manual is causing a lot of grief for him in our relationship because he married a woman who is late often. Mm-hmm. Not always, 100% not always, but more often than is acceptable in my husband's brain, right? It's like even like 5 out of 500 is bad in my husband's opinion, right? So there's that. That line in his manual is causing grief for him in our relationship. Now, does it cause me grief anymore? Not very often, because I just have made peace with it. And that's okay, right? It's like if he wants to have grief in our relationship, it's totally fine. If he wants to divorce me because I'm late, whatever. That's his drama.
Like, that's like, a dumb reason, but okay.
Yeah. It's like if it's that big of a deal, then maybe he shouldn't be with someone who is late all the time.
Yeah.
Right? It's just the truth. So this is where when I teach manuals to people, they get into this when they want to keep something in their manual and they really want their, you know, the other person in the relationship to change is like, well, what about expectations? Are you telling me that I shouldn't have expectations and blah, blah, blah? Like, no, of course you can have expectations. The thing about expectations is that you need to own them. It's like you have an expectation of another person. That does not mean they have to meet your expectation. It just means that you have one. And you're hoping that they will meet it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, you got to decide what you're going to do about it. We talk, when it comes with spouses, yeah, I talk about in relationships, you've got to make requests. Okay? Like, you make requests, and the other person gets to decide if they're going to do it or if they're not going to do it. So let's give an easy example. Like, sometimes I'll make the request of my husband, hey, husband, will you help me with folding the laundry? So this has happened, okay? Real world, guys, real world. I'll request of my husband, hey, will you help me fold this laundry? Like, I've got 3 loads on our bed and it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night and he wants to go watch his show. And sometimes, well, let's see, like 90% of the times it's like, no, I don't want to and I'm not going to. And I say, oh, well, that wasn't the answer I was hoping for, but okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Like I made a request. The answer was no. And I get to decide what I'm going to do about that. What I'm going to make it mean, right? I can make it mean, he doesn't love me. If he really loved me, or a good husband's help with the laundry, right? Yes, I could bring all of that to the party, or I can just decide, you know, sometimes folding the laundry isn't what I want to do at 10 o'clock at night either. And I've decided that I want this laundry done right now. I don't have to do it right. I don't have to fold this right now, but I want to because I want it done. So I asked for help. He said no. It's totally okay for him to say no. And I'm going to do it anyway because I'm the one that wants it done. Now, there are going to be ladies that hear this and go, he should help, right? There are going to be, it's going to be a lot of us saying, he should help you. Good, because in our manuals, right, we say, good husbands help wives. Like, well, he's actually a really amazing husband. He just doesn't like folding laundry. And that's okay. Does he help me in lots of other things? 100%. Am I gonna freak out because my husband doesn't want to fold laundry with me 10 o'clock at night? Nope. I'm not. And that's just a decision that I've made. That's a really simple one, but you know.
No, I like that one. Half the time when I ask because, you know, it's late at night. You're like, well, we can watch a show and fold. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he folds one sock and he done. Did help me. So technically he did help. He'll tell me that all the time. I'm like, babe, aren't, you know, like I folded like three baskets and you did like one sock. And he's like, well, I helped. And I'm like, well, technically you're right. And so I can't get mad at that.
Yeah.
No, I love it because I feel like every woman's probably been there too.
Oh, gosh, yes. And, yeah, I just get to decide what I'm going to make a big deal and what I'm not going to make a big deal. Now, there are some things in our relationships that it's like, this is an expectation. And if you don't meet this expectation, then, you know, there are going to be some things that I'm just not going to do. Like, let me think of some examples. Or can I think of an example? Oh, like mopping the floor. Okay, guys, I don't do it. My husband does it. Because I hate mopping the floor. And he does a really good job. So my thing is, he'll be like, hey, our floor really needs to be mopped. And I'll say, yeah, that our floor needs to be mopped. You're right, it does. And I just let it be. Because I know. This is the manipulation part, right? Because I know it'll get, I've made peace with it. Where it's like, you know what? If he really wants the floor to be mopped, he can do it.
Yep.
Like, he's the one that gets irked about it sooner than I do, so I just let it be. It's like, I'm gonna sweep the floor. I will sweep the floor like 3 times a day. When it needs to be mopped, I know my husband will eventually do it. It's great. Like, there are just some things that's like, you know, I know he wants me to mop the floor, but that's a no.
Yeah.
And he can request it. And sometimes it will be a yes and sometimes it will be a no. And that's okay.
Yeah. I like that you brought that up too, of just like the little hints or subtleties that somebody brings up of just like,
nope, don't do those.
You know, Jessica, the bathroom is starting to look. And I'm like, you're right. It is starting to look that way. But deep down, you know that they're saying, why don't you take care of it? And you're
yes.
You didn't ask me that. You just made mention that the bathroom doesn't look nice. And I agreed with you.
Yes.
So if you want something specifically done, maybe you should say that.
Yes. Make requests, you guys. If you don't do the subtle hinty things. You have got to make requests. You've got to make requests. And the answer can be yes and the answer can be no. And you know, it's just part of it. Yeah. So I think I talked about that a little bit. So figure out what's in your manual, decide what you want to keep. It's the same thing in any part of the relationship, right? Same with thoughts. Like, take a look at your manual, write it down. Like, what are the expectations that I'm having and which ones do I really want to keep that are like non-negotiable? Because figure out what your non-negotiables are. And like, one of my non-negotiables is that you don't lie to me, right? That's a non-negotiable for me. Like, don't lie. That's a non-negotiable for me. Now, is that in my kids' manual? Yeah, but they get a lot more leniency. I'm going to tell you what. Because kids lie, dang it, all the freaking time. But with other people, like, you get to choose what's in your manual. But for my spouse manual, it's like, don't lie. Don't lie to me.
Yeah, that's definitely one.
That's a non-negotiable for one. Yeah, so I'm going to keep that one. But some others that I might get rid of is like good husbands, you know, take out the garbage. Like, I take out the garbage all the time, you guys.
Same.
Because I notice it gets smelly and it's bothering me and, you know, they just don't notice sometimes. Like, absolutely. All right, well, I'm going to take this out right now. Or most of the time when I ask, it happens. So it's like, that's on me. I'm not going to make it a big deal if he doesn't notice or if I don't ask, I just hint at it. No. No hints, ladies. Make requests. Own your requests. So just definitely find out what your non-negotiables are and then figure out what you're willing to negotiate on and then get rid of the ones that are just stupid. You'll find some stupid ones. You're like, well, why is that in here? I mean, I get why it got there, but still kind of stupid. So we're going to get rid of it. And it might take effort and time, and that's okay. So like, yeah, that one's stupid. We're going to be done with that. The last thing that I wanted to bring up is boundaries. So, because some people talk about boundaries, and these are, can be part of the manual thing and the requests thing, but sometimes people think, well, is this a boundary issue or is this just like a manual request issue? I have a friend who has a mother-in-law who drives her crazy, okay? And she says things that my friend does not like often, like all of the time. She doesn't have a filter, right? You've met people like that who just say what they think. And they don't think about it ahead of time. And they're not worried about hurting people's feelings or saying anything rude. They just, you know, it's out there. There's no filter. And so she said, well, should I have a boundary where if my mother-in-law says something rude, I just leave? Like, well, you know, is that, are you putting a boundary there like that to protect you? Or are you putting the boundary there to try and manipulate them into doing what you want?
Yeah.
So if you think that there needs to be a boundary set, the way I would ask you to check if it's a boundary issue or a manual other type of issue is this, do I need a boundary to protect myself? Or am I trying to put this boundary in place to manipulate the other person and make them do what I want? Because part of a boundary is sometimes you don't have to tell the other person your boundary. You can just do it. But sometimes you tell them, well, I'm not going to let, so like if you fight with your spouse and it gets heated and you start yelling, a boundary you could have is, I'm willing to have conversations with you until you start yelling. And if you start yelling and I'm feeling unsafe, I'm going to leave. And I will tell you before I enforce that. But that's a boundary issue, in my opinion. It's like,
yeah, because it protects
you. It's protecting you. It's protecting you from dealing with a person who's loud and angry and upset.
Yeah, you're not telling them you can't yell. Yeah. You're saying, you can yell, I just won't be around.
Exactly. Like, it could be like, if you start yelling, you have to leave. It's got to be, that's not an enforceable boundary. You see, because you're expecting the other person to enforce the boundary for you. Yes. If you're going to have a boundary, it's got to be enforceable by you. So the enforceable would be, I will talk to you and we'll have a discussion. But if you start yelling and it gets loud and to the point where I'm uncomfortable, then I'm going to leave. Not you're going to leave. I'm going to leave. We're going to have a 10-minute break and I will come back and we'll start talking again. Now, if the yelling returns, like if again, that boundary is going to be there. I've said it. If you start yelling, I will tell you I'm going to leave. I will be back in 10 minutes. And then you return, right? When you set a boundary, it's got to be enforceable by you, not by the other person. You cannot force someone else to do something and call that a boundary. That's manipulation. That's setting expectations for somebody else, and you can't enforce those. You can only control yourself. So you've got to have a boundary where that's what happens. Hopefully that all makes sense.
Yeah. And I think it definitely helps with the number one thing about like, thoughts about yourself, loving yourself, like respecting yourself enough to have those boundaries as well. Yeah,
protect yourself. There's nothing wrong with having a boundary.
Awesome. I think this was a good conversation. I think that hopefully you ladies out there will grab a piece of paper, really sit down and get really clean and clear with yourself, with your thoughts around your spouse and your even your manuals of what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep and what a good, healthy, safe boundary is and everything. And yeah, we just hope that doing this type of stuff on a motherhood podcast, even though a lot of it was more about spouses and mother-in-laws and friends and stuff like that, the same applies to all relationships, really. So you
I can give you examples with kids. Like one of the things in my manual is like, kids don't say rude things to their parents. It's like in my manual, right? Well, my kids violate that rule all the time, every single day. Every single day. I have my 10-year-old, he has ADHD and he has ODD. If you don't know what that is, that's oppositional defiance disorder, which means they're very snarky, especially with adults that they're close to, meaning me, right? Meaning mom, mm-hmm. meaning dad. So I'm his favorite punching bag, right? I'm his favorite punching bag, and he'll say rude things to me all the time. And so I had to make peace with, or I had to kind of get rid of that out of my manual. It's like, you know what? Sometimes kids say rude things to their parents, and it doesn't mean I'm a bad mom. It means sometimes my kid says rude things, and I can deal with that. I had to get that out of my manual to create peace for myself. Now, do I love the fact that my kid says rude things to me? Of course I don't. Do I try and help him, you know, to not do that and teach him respect and different things? Of course. But I also don't shame him for it or shame myself for it, because it's not useful and it doesn't change the situation. So that's one example with kids.
I love that. Well, Amanda, this has been a ton of fun. And
so fun.
I've learned a lot. I know I'll probably be visiting a lot of these episodes over and over again, probably especially this one. But yeah, I've learned a lot. Hopefully you ladies have enjoyed this. I don't know if Amanda has a website or something that if somebody's interested, somebody can hop on and visit your website or reach out, touch base with you,
yeah.
Say hi and you're amazing and whatnot. You can leave your deets here, and we could also link it up in our podcast as well as one of our sources.
So I do have a website. I do take one-on-one clients. I don't take a lot, but I do take some. So, you know, hit me up if you really want some coaching.
Send cookies, beg, you know, all those things.
Yes, all of the things. I will take it all. But my website, it's turnthetidecoaching.com. So T-U-R-N. turnthetidecoaching.com, because I love the visual that brings. Like, sometimes we feel like there are forces outside of us that are just like the tide that bring the water out and bring it in, and it's just mm-hmm. kind of out of our control. And so I like the idea of, no, we turn the tide. We get to turn the tide in our lives, and we have so much control that we're just not even using in our own lives to create what we want. That, yeah, it's like you can turn your own tide and it can be amazing. Anyway,
I love that. Awesome. No, what a fun little thoughtful thing. So fun. Okay, well, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for hopping on the podcast with me and having these fun experiences and whatnot. Feel free, ladies, to leave us a fun and kind review. Share these podcasts with your friends. Work on relationships. And definitely want to hear about your guys' experience. So you can always email us at motherhoodadventurepodcast@gmail.com. We're here for you guys. We're trying to improve ourselves. We're trying to improve you ladies out there. So good luck with the assignment that we have been giving you over these last several episodes. I know I've got plenty of learning, especially with the feelings episode. And we'll get there because we're all trying to improve. But Amanda, thanks again for being on the podcast.
Loved
and
it. Hopefully Thank you for having
we will
me.
Have you again in the future.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. We want to be a part of your adventure too. So submit your topics, questions, or silly stories to us at motherhoodadventurepod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
Become part of our mom tribe by following us on Facebook and Instagram so you don't miss a mess-filled mom moment. Thanks for joining us through our journey of tantrums, triumphs, and teamwork.
Till next time.